Text for our sermon this morning, our epistle reading from Colossians 1, especially these words. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. So far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here we have, on the last Sunday of the church year, our Commitment Sunday, the way of the law ends. All of those strict observances of the law find their ending right here in these readings, in what Jesus does. You know how strict the law is, those Ten Commandments from God. They talk about our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. We are to have no other gods before him. We are to serve him because we want to. How we are to honor God's name and his day and conform our entire life to one of service and love. Love for God and love for the neighbor, not hurting or harming our neighbor and his body, not thinking ill of our neighbor, but helping and supporting him in every circumstance, in every situation. And you know how difficult the law is to do. You've read of those Pharisees in Jesus' day who gave outward observance to the law, thinking that they were good enough, because they were better than these people or those people. They counted themselves as holy. On the outside, they might have looked well and good, but on the inside, as Jesus says, they were whitewashed tombs full of death and sin. Out of the heart comes all sin, all hatred and covetousness, all evil desire. All of it. We can conform our outward lives pretty well to obeying God's law. We can look good on the outside and curb our deeds to the best of our abilities. We can even seem to get better over time, and maybe you are better than these people or those people, but you are not perfect. Your heart tells the truth. All of the times you murdered your neighbor by your thoughts, lusting after him or her, what they had or who they were, wanting the worst for them. All of those times you refused to serve God because other more important things came up, sports or sleep or work or recreation, any number of things, you know. You know the way of the law. It never ends. The law never stops and says, you've done enough. You can be done. No. The law never says good job either. There is no positive reinforcements under the law. The law only makes demands of you and sees your failure to perform as God would have you. God's standard is high. Be holy as God is holy. But here in these texts, we find the end of the law. Could there be such a thing? Could the law ever end? All of those demands be silenced and stopped? Is that even possible? Not for you or I. We couldn't affect it. We couldn't be good enough or holy enough in this life before God to make the law silent. Only God could do that. Only he. We've walked through it, haven't we, this church year? As we came through Advent and Christmas, we heard about Jesus being born, God taking on flesh. The great mystery of the incarnation, how God could even do that, be limited to the flesh of a child where all the fullness dwelt bodily in Jesus. We walked with Jesus on that Lenten road, traveling on to Jerusalem, to see him giving his body and blood to his disciples that Maundy Thursday, being betrayed on trial, and then hung on the tree on Friday. We wept with those women at the tomb as Jesus rested there on Saturday, the true Sabbath rest. We came together for a joyful Eastertide, rejoicing in the resurrection of our Savior Jesus. And through the non-festival half of the church year, we have heard Jesus' teachings and miracles given to us, the church. We have walked it all this church year. And here we end. The most important place, where the law stops, where we find gospel, where the law is transformed for us. Do you see it, these texts? That God would make peace with us through his blood on the cross. As Jesus hangs there, being mocked by everyone, that repentant thief knows the way of the law comes to an end for him, for he is about to die. There is no more time for him to make up for his sins, no more prayers he can offer, no more good things he could do. There is nothing, for he's dying. He has only one option, the man hanging next to him. Remember me. Isn't that why that man came? To remember sinners? To remember you? He called you by name at your baptism. He knows you. Is all of the hairs on your head numbered? He loves you. He came in flesh for you. He walked that road to the cross for you. He gave his life upon the tree for you. There, in those moments, on that cross, he remembers you. He dies for all your sins, the ones you have done, the ones you have thought, the ones in your heart, for all them. The way of the law, the way of obedience for you would end there, the cross. Not by what you have done, the great works you've accomplished, or the sins you've put down, but that would end there at the cross of your Savior Jesus, as he takes every one of your sins and pays the price for them. This you have been given, your baptism into Jesus. There your sins were drowned. Placed on Jesus, he took them all from you, paying the price. You have no sins left. You are a perfect child of God, redeemed to stand before him in righteousness and purity forever. In this state of grace you live, as you receive his word and his supper for the forgiveness of your sins. Yes, these bodies still sin. We are at the same time sinner and saints, and we still need his grace. We still need the law to remind us who we are. But you know that you are a Christian. The way of obedience under the law, its demands have stopped. The law is transformed. You are now guided into good, that you would do willingly, joyfully for your neighbor and for your Lord. Here is where stewardship resides. It's the what now, after you have been saved, after you have seen the death that Jesus died applied to you, how do you live your life? Do you live like that criminal, hurling insults at Jesus with every sin, ignoring him day after day, finding more important things to be about? Or do you live as that repentant criminal who gave over his entire life to Jesus? For what had he nothing. Jesus gave him everything. Paradise. What have you? Sin upon sin that Jesus has taken from you. What's your response? Is there any joy? Any thanksgiving? Any desire to give back to God for all he has done for you? Any desire to help your neighbor and serve him or her in their need, that they would see the love you have for your Savior and see your Savior's love in their life? Stewardship is that open question. What will you do? Will you give to God like no one else? Will you step out in trust and faith and live like a Christian? Jesus stepped out in trust and faith, coming to this earth, living among sinners, following the will of his Father. He simply trusted. So also we simply trust. We give. We tithe the 10%. Because Jesus gave all of himself to forgive all our sins. Of course. Is there any question? Would we do less after all that Jesus has done for us? How could we? Would we not support our neighbor every chance we get? How could we do less after Jesus is there every second of the day to hear our prayer and help and support us? The way of obedience ends there at the cross. The way of the Christian begins there. For there we find peace and joy. There we find our motivation to live, to give, to help, because of all that Jesus has done for us. In his name, amen.